Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, thank you, Steve. It's John in that Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. What a lovely day.
North Korea would do well not to test his resolve or the strength of the armed forces of the United States in this region.
That's what I said. It's 2:08. We're here until 3 o'clock. There's a story in the... on MSN today, it says China and Russia have dispatched spy vessels to shadow a U.S. aircraft carrier group heading to North Korean waters. Beijing sought Russian help in averting a crisis over North Korea last week. As concerns grow in China that Donald Trump is seeking to confront North Korea over its weapon program, the U.S. president sent a Navy group led by the aircraft carrier Carl Vinson into the region in what is being seen as a signal to Pyongyang. Mr. Trump described the force as, quote, an armada, and said that submarines were being sent which were, quote, far more powerful than an aircraft carrier. He tweeted yesterday, our military is building and is rapidly becoming stronger than ever before. Frankly, we have no choice, exclamation point. China and Russia have dispatched intelligence-gathering vessels from their navies to chase the aircraft carrier and its group. That according to MSN. Now I'm reading from Business Insider. And I'm wondering about the coincidence, A, of North Korea sort of flexing its muscle, and then they say, and watch this on the anniversary of Kim Jong-un's grandfather. His birth, I guess. It was the 105th anniversary of his grandfather's birth or death, or I forget what it was. Anyway.
His birth.
So they're going to launch this missile, and that'll show them. And 5 seconds into it being deployed, the thing went kablooey. And you think, huh, what a coincidence. I wonder if we had something to do with that. Did we hack that launch? Business Insider says a recent New York Times report uncovered a secret operation to derail North Korea's nuclear missile program that's been raging for at least 3 years. Essentially, the report attributes North Korea's high rate of failure with Russian-designed missiles to the U.S. meddling in the country's missile software and networks. Although North Korea's missile infrastructure lacks the competence of Russia's, the Soviet-era missiles on which North Korea based its missile had a 13% failure rate. Soviet missiles fail 13% of the time. The North Korea version fails 88% of the time. So maybe it's just incompetence, they're learning their way, or maybe it's something else. And if that is us doing something clickety-click, 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 and their thing goes kapow, those aren't technical terms, is that okay? You know what I mean? I'm all for us spying on them, and I'm all for our CIA and FBI doing whatever it is that we're supposed to do. But I wonder if there's any legal or ethical or even just like political pause to, okay, now, because we can, should we? They're going to test this missile. It doesn't have a nuclear warhead on it, but they're going to test this missile. We could blow it up mid-flight. Should we be doing that if we can? That's another question I don't know the answer to. I mean, this isn't exactly revealing the names of people at Sony. This is big stuff now. I cut you off, Steve.
Well, and if U.S. policy is to prevent them from getting a nuclear weapon, if the world policy pretty much agreed to is keeping them from or getting these, you know, delivery systems, why would that be any less acceptable than a strike on Syrian aircraft after a chemical weapons attack?
Yeah, maybe so, except at least in the case of Syria, there was the gassing of the civilians. Literally, I'm also wondering, so except that they're not supposed to develop nuclear weapons or we don't want them to develop nuclear weapons, what have they done to deserve this? I want to take that back because I'm not on North Korea's side, you understand. But put it this way, Steve.
Explains the haircut.
How is that not an act of war then? Literally, if we blow their missile up, isn't that the equivalent of us launching Tomahawk missiles into their nuclear site or their air base Do we need to be doing that? Do we want to be doing that? I don't know the answer to those questions.
Well, I think the purists will say there never was an end to the conflict in the, from the 50s.
Yeah, that's
formally,
what
right?
I guess said last week, but I'm not sure I want to hit the hornet's nest. But I also don't want to naively not do anything and let them develop nuclear weapons and then launch them on Japan or South Korea or the United States. So I don't want to be a fool about this either. We reached out to Philip Hallam Baker. He is the vice president and principal scientist at a company called Komodo. And he's a cybersecurity expert who can at least talk a little bit along the lines of could we have, and if so, how would we have done something like that? Hey, Philip, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
Thank you. Very good, John.
Yeah, you heard this conversation my friend Steve Bertrand and I were having. Do you want to chime in with anything? What do you think?
Well, actually, this is something that we debate at great length, because one of the big problems with cyber is we want to understand what the rules of the ground are, and we don't want to end up with a situation where we do something to China, and China gets really upset about it and starts a war with us when that's not what we intended. So there is a whole set of regime called norms, which is basically all about working out what the expectations of each side go. Now, in terms of the law of war goes, this is, if it happened, it would have been a use of force. And the use of force can be an act of war, but isn't necessarily so. And basically, the thing that makes the big difference is how the other side decides to treat it. So in the case of the Stuxnet case, which is now very... We've now had several years to analyze it, and I think that most analysts are now very confident that it was the U.S., with some help from Israel, that derailed the Iranian nuclear program during the Obama years. That was a use of force, but it wasn't an act of war because Iran decided it wasn't. They chose not to treat it as such. However, they would have been entitled to treat it as an act of war, and that obviously would have led to escalation and so on. So it's all a question of, do the two sides really want to be at war or not?
So we could provoke, and then the ball's sort of in their court, huh?
Absolutely. And one of the things that is, of course, very scary with North Korea is it's a country that's basically got one ally, and that ally, China, really is not all that keen on the current leader. They were pretty well in with his father, but their main person in Kim Jong-un's court, the uncle, was murdered recently.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember, he was fed to dogs. It's a very unstable situation. I mean, if you have a situation where a person surrounds himself with yes men and makes it clear that anybody who says anything that's at all unwelcome is going to be murdered, well, that's not exactly that's not how they tell you to get good advice in the Harvard Business School and so on. It's pretty much the opposite.
I said, we provoke, now the ball's in their court. But maybe they provoked first, right? I mean, is there... some sort of international agreement that they won't develop a nuclear weapon, or as a sovereign state, are they at their will to do whatever they want, the same way the United States and our allies develop nuclear weapons?
Well, there is a nuclear test ban treaty and a non-proliferation treaty, which North Korea didn't sign.
So, okay, they think, and I can understand why, I mean, rightly so, they're at odds with the West. They want a nuclear weapon. They want to develop it. I would be a lot more comfortable about that. I mean, really, how good of a pal is China to us anyway? I'd be more comfortable with nuclear, if North Korea having a nuclear weapon, if I didn't think that guy was so crazy, he might just launch one of those things.
Well, the question is not so much whether he is mentally ill as whether he has put himself in a situation where all the advice he is giving is coming from people who are giving him the advice that they want to
think he wants to hear. Sure. What happened Do you think that we meddled in that missile launch last couple days ago?
It is possible that the missile failed through sabotage. If so, the U.S. could have been responsible, but it's not the only possibility. It could also have been China. It could have been any party that didn't see a good reason for, well, thought that they wanted to avoid a war between the U.S. and North Korea. South Korea certainly wouldn't want to have a resumption of the Korean War.
Sure, but how would any of these countries done that? How do you do that? How do you make their missile blow up 5 seconds into flight?
Okay, so you basically got three ways you can get in there. One is that you can have a human source on the inside. The second is that you can give them a piece of hardware or software that is deliberately designed to be malfunctional. And the third one is that you can connect to the device remotely, either tap into the North Korean military networks and put malware on this device. Oh, and then the fourth possibility is the James Bond scenario of missile toppling, where you send a directed EMP pulse at the missile while it's in flight, which is something that has been suggested as a possibility, but nobody has shown evidence that that's possible yet.
What's an EMP pulse?
Electromagnetic pulse. So basically, if you have an electromagnetic field and you give it a really enormous spike, bigger than you would get with lightning, you can destroy very fragile circuits. It's one of the effects that you get from a nuclear blast. If you explode a nuclear weapon, it would destroy all the silicon circuits in the vicinity.
Hmm. I was under the impression there was some sort of... tell me if what I'm about to describe falls into line with anything you've just described, and that is somebody in a control center buried in Colorado, or maybe a teenager in Hackensack, is sitting there with a computer laptop or desktop, and the missile goes off, and then they hit some special code, hit enter, and then that sends a signal to something that made the thing blow up, that we did it in real time by hitting some computer keys.
I think that particular scenario, well, first of all, let's take the teenager out of the equation.
Okay.
I've been doing internet security now for 25 years, and yes, there are some teenagers that are really good at taking down some banks and taking down, but hacking into missile command or whatever, that's something that really takes a whole different level of determination and knowledge and resources.
What about a country doing that?
A nation state, yes, it is conceivable. There are two places in which you could do it. I think the more likely one would be that you would compromise the missile before it was launched. You see, once the thing's in the air, what communications is it going to have? Missiles are fairly simple technology. I mean, like, you have a big fire at one end and you have some aerolons to direct it or whatever. It's not exactly something that has a lot of complexity to attack. So I'm rather skeptical about the hacking at it while it's in flight, but sabotaging it while it was on the ground in some way, setting some switch so that some crucial thing that was meant to kick in at some, you know, in the first few seconds of flight, it didn't kick in. That's quite possible.
Hmm. Philip, before I let you go, you know, you said it's possible. Would you grade the possibility of the United States or one of these other nations having something to do with that missile failing? What's the probability in your estimation?
That's really hard at this point. I think I'd give it below 50% fiber in this instant.
Yeah.
But we have 100% certainty that this type of attack has been used in the past on nuclear programs. So, you know, it's a question of the more data we collect. If you came back to me in, say, 10 months' time when we've had more data to collect, I might raise that probability significantly, or I might discount it entirely.
Sure, yeah, we'll know more then. It's kind of a fascinating thing to think about, though, and folks are asking, did we hack that missile test? On a phone line,
well,
Philip?
Go ahead, Philip. Well, another thing, to, from my point of view, which is mostly on the defense side, whether or not it was the U.S. who attacked, I'm absolutely certain that North Korea will be blaming the U.S. And so, like we see with all these cyber attacks, we're going to be seeing another wave of hacking against U.S. Companies and U.S. interests in response. So even if it wasn't the U.S. to blame, we're going to see cyber retaliation. And so people better buckle up, because last time they took down Sony.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that was one of the things that, for, you know, when you think about, well, how sophisticated are they? That was pretty impressive. Philip Hallam-Baker is with a company called Komodo. He's the vice president there and the principal scientist as well. 25 years he's been studying these sorts of things. I'm out of time today, Philip, but I'll definitely call you back. I appreciate your time and expertise.
Thank you very much.